Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Wednesday evening contemplative service. It's great to be together in the cloud of the Church of Conscious Harmony. And wherever you are, I thank you for your presence here tonight. It's a beautiful, hot day in Austin, Texas. And we take refuge in the shade and cool of the Word of God tonight. We'll be hearing a gospel lesson that teaches us about the importance of presence and the quantity by which it requires to experience that presence. And you might be surprised how small a number it is that can call down the presence of Christ. So thank you for being a part of this presence, and we know that Christ is in our midst. Let's take a moment in the silence to wish for this service to be a blessing to each of our journeys, our lives, and through this service, bless the world in some small increase of love and consciousness.
Staying in this place of rest, let us listen now to the gospel for today, taken from Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
Tonight we will look at two similar dynamics. One, how can you get rid of someone, or when you need to? And two, someone you can never get rid of, some presence that will never leave you. This passage of Scripture is very abbreviated, but it contains three different dynamics. The first is on reconciling with someone who has opposed you or resisted you or harmed you. Then the middle portion is this extraordinary esoteric and metaphysical statement: what you bind on earth and in heaven, and what you loose in earth and in heaven, is correspondingly bound and loose. And that in and of itself is a profound concept, that our intentions of our mind and our words can have an impact on reality, ultimate reality, including the spiritual dimension, but also the physical dimension. And then the third aspect of this passage kind of mirrors the first part, but in this case, it's this beautiful truth that wherever two or three are gathered, there I am, I'm in their midst. So we're going to look at the first and the third and avoid the middle one. And the first is a very brief reminder to all of us about the process of reconciliation when we've been harmed. And not only just reconciliation, I would call this the general wisdom of forgiving your brother or your sister. So forgiveness can lead to reconciliation. And sometimes we can forgive someone and not reconcile. But nevertheless, this is about restoring our broken relationships, especially with people who have offended us or harmed us. There's three simple steps in this process, and I think it's important just to draw it out. But keep in mind that it begins with you, one individual, going to talk to another individual. So this is the one-on-one dimension of reconciling or restoring a relationship. And that's oftentimes what people do, the very last thing that they can do. If they can avoid it by all costs, they will avoid talking to the person that has offended them. And what ends up happening is, instead of going to the other person, we tend to triangulate. So we go to a third person who's outside of the relationship, perhaps, or the friendship, or maybe they know the person, and we tend to talk about them to the other person. We triangulate. And sometimes the other person then will hook into the other person that you have a problem with and speak what you should have spoken to them in the first place. So this is really confusing in relationships when we get into these triangles, and it's an invitation for all of us to have the courage to go and talk to your brother and sister or sister if you've got an issue with them or a problem, or they've harmed you or hurt you, or the relationship needs to be restored in a certain way. Go to them yourself. That's the first step. If you try that and they rebuff you or they don't listen to you, if you can't make amends, then the second step of the process is to get what we would call a triad. You yourself get two other people from your spiritual community and go and talk to the person that needs to be reconciled with, or the relationship needs to be repaired. And those two or three other people can be supporting witnesses, and they might listen to the facts of the case, and those facts can be supported by the evidence, the facts of the situation. And those two or three people can also call other witnesses, so it says. So this isn't just limited to two or three people. They can ask for help from others who might know what have happened. And then the third aspect is very interesting. It's something that never happens, really, as far as I know, in spiritual communities. Very rarely does it happen. And that is, if the person still won't reconcile with you, or still won't forgive you, or still won't agree to some sort of amends, then you tell the community, your spiritual community. It doesn't exactly clarify what that means. Does that mean tell everyone, stand up in the middle of a Sunday morning and tell the whole community? Or perhaps it's maybe just the representatives of the community, like the board or the leaders. It's a beautiful three-step process that can help us all in our relationships. Go to the person who's offended you. If that doesn't work, bring your two other friends with you to talk to the person. And then if that doesn't work, call upon the higher community, which could be a small group, it could be your family, it could be the family system, and it needs to be applied in different ways. The point I think is very useful is that the circumference keeps expanding, starts out one-on-one and then expands. We tend to start out big and then we have a problem, and it's hard to get down to the one-on-one. And so let's just take wisdom from this passage and apply that to our lives. When we have to do work with someone, go to them one-on-one and do your work. And if they're not open to you, then perhaps bring other people in. And it's a very useful process of reconciling. But then the ultimate thing here, which we don't often talk about and don't quite exactly know what it means, but if the person still resists after the whole community has spoken to the person, then it says, dissociate yourself from them. And I think that's a really beautiful boundary to keep in mind, that there are certain relationships and certain people and certain communities, certain situations, where we just need to dissociate ourselves from them, that there's nothing that we could say or do that will change them or change the reality or the facts on the ground, and we need to dissociate ourselves from them. And that is a really empowering thing, especially for people who are in abuse situations. You don't just keep trying to reconcile with someone who's abusing you. At a certain point, you say, that's enough, and I am no longer in relationship with you. So calling that line is very important, and recognizing that there's a role for dissociating from certain people, especially very negative, toxic people in our lives. The thing I want to really emphasize is the third aspect of this passage, which is this beautiful invitation that there's very little where we can go where we will be separated or a sense of dissociation from the presence of Christ. And that's basically the beautiful message of this passage, is that there's nowhere you can go to be separated from the presence of Christ. That even in the smallest group, two or three of you, even just when you're with two people, I am with you in that situation. And I think that's just really beautiful, that there's a sense of presence that is very personal, that doesn't need a large group to experience. Nothing special, nothing out of the ordinary. Just one-on-one, and I'm with you in that. And the other thing that I love about this passage is that it doesn't say, and I will be with you when two or three of you gather in my name. It says, I am with you, which is this beautiful reminder that two people, that polarity, that gift of polarity, is powerful. And it can be just as spiritually fruitful and effective to be with one other person, especially one other person you're in harmony with. And that union of the two can bring about a beautiful fruitfulness spiritually. And so it gets to that middle part. Whatever these two people who gather in my name bind or loosen, it shall be done. There's a spiritual power in that polarity of just two people. And just think how much that expands when brothers and sisters who dwell together in unity are of one mind and harmonious in accord of spirit. Great spiritual things can occur when that happens. But you don't have to have a big group to experience big spiritual power or energy. Just two other things before we conclude. The first is that this is a really beautiful reminder in the midst of a pandemic for all of us, that don't miss out on the presence of Christ in the midst of the smallness of your gatherings. And even the situation of that we're in as a community where we can't gather together as a community, that there is a unique spiritual presence that is arising even when just two or three of us are gathered in this space, in this room. All the more now, exponentially, when we think about all the people that are connecting right now in the cloud, wherever two or three of us are gathered, doesn't say where, just gathered, and we're gathered in consciousness and we're gathered in the cloud. There I am in the midst of you. And then the final thing I want to say is notice what the purpose of the aim of the gathering is. It specifically says, when two or three of you are gathered in my name, gathered together in my name. And that's a euphemism, because the actual literal way of translating this would be to say, those who are gathered in my presence, because the name represents person or presence. It's a euphemism. Whenever someone gathers in the name of Jesus, you can simply translate that as in my presence, or in my person would be the most literal way of talking about it, because it's something of the reality of the presence of the person of Christ that is felt in that gathering. It's not just being in the name of Jesus, but it's in the presence of that energetic person named Jesus. And it is this devotedness, this facing towardness, that's the literal way of translating that. So if there's something about the quality of our attention that brings about the presence or the experience of the presence. So the gathering together is one of facing toward the person or the presence of Christ. And that to me suggests this consenting inward to the center. And there I will be with you. There I am with you. So we can practice this little by little. Whenever two or three of you gather in the silence and turn toward me in the center, there I am with you. And that's a beautiful thing, to be on the lookout for the presence of Christ that is, even with the smallest groups of people, in the center of each of our lives. And so I think that we cannot recognize enough the power of human presence and the power of divine presence, that people gathered together do things spiritually on an energetic level. When people gather together of the same accord, they can bring reconciliation to broken relationships, and they can bring an awareness of the presence of Christ. People, two or three people, become locations of being vessels of what we would call sea influences. And in a sense, that's all we could say about this message, is that people, two or three of you, become vessels of sea influence. And if that's not a beautiful possibility, I can't imagine what would be. Let's take a moment in the silence. You've heard what I've had to say. And explore with the Spirit how you can consent more deeply to be a vessel of this presence in your life and with the people that you live with and work with and love. Thank you for your presence here tonight. Wherever two or three are gathered, we have been in the Lord's midst. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace, power, and presence of the Spirit is with each of us until we meet again. Amen.